On the flight deck, listeners are manning up for the podcast launch. It's time for all unnecessary shows to clear the airwaves.
You're listening to The Hangar Bay, a podcast dedicated to the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. From developers to the community and everything in between, The Hangar Bay will get you squared away.
Welcome down to The Hangar Bay, your source for the latest news that every military flight simulation pilot can use. Today is Monday, March 25th, 2024. I'm your host, Dumanji, and thank you for joining me for another episode of The Hangar Bay. I hope each and every one of you had a wonderful week in the virtual skies. I didn't actually get that much flight time myself this week because I took to the actual skies and enjoyed a nice vacation instead, which I'll never complain about. So a little mini spring break for me. And unfortunately, that's the reason we're joining you on a Monday night instead of our normal recording time on Saturday. So a little PSA, next week we'll hope to get back on schedule and should have our normally scheduled time of releasing on Saturday. That said, before we get started, I want to do my due diligence and just remind you that you can always follow along with this week's show notes by visiting thehangarbaypod.com. You'll find this week's show notes as well as the show notes for every episode we've done so far on there. Or you can also alternatively follow along with the video version of this show, which I post on YouTube, or you can find on Spotify. And by doing so, you can roll through the show notes in real time as I talk about them. I do that each and every week. So with that little admin out of the way, let's get things started like we do each and every week with the flyby. The flyby is where we aim to cover the highlights from this week's news in 60 seconds or less. Kicking things off, we have Eagle Dynamics with two updates from DCS. The first of which is the MiG-29 was officially announced with the Alpha version or the Warsaw Pact export variant being the one confirmed as being in development. On the map side of the house, we received an Afghanistan development update, which reveals that the western half of the country will debut in early access with the eastern half of the country to follow later on. Nuclear Option this week added track IR support and a new aircraft, the EW-25 Medusa, which as the name implies focuses on electronic warfare. On the hardware front, WinWing announced they'll be releasing an Airbus 320 flight control unit this week on Wednesday, March 27th. Also on the hardware front, Verpal announced earlier today that they have taken legal action against FC Technologies, which is formerly a FlightCon Tech, which we've talked about on the show. And as of recording, FlightCon Tech's web presence appears to be offline. Their webpage is no longer operational, and their Twitter account has been taken down. And then finally, Flight Sim Expo announced their 2024 exhibitors list, which includes several hardware manufacturers such as WinWing and Verpal and Thrustmaster. And then on the software front, the in-development World War II Pacific Theater combat pilot will make an appearance. So great news all around. So that was a few of the bigger stories for this week. I hope you'll stick around for the full show where we'll cover these stories in more detail as well as the rest of this week's news. On that note, let's dig in and get things started with the developers.
Hey everyone, Wags here.
In the developer news segment, we bring you the latest happenings from game developers and related third parties. And as the flyby started off, so too will the developer news start off with DCS. As I mentioned, the biggest news of the week for all the Red 4 fans out there is the MiG-29A has officially been announced. So we saw the teaser for this way back in January when they do their yearly video celebrating DCS and teasing out all the content we can expect for the year. So we already knew it was coming, but now we have the full weekly newsletter developer news report from Eagle Dynamics confirming exactly what we're going to get with the MiG-29. So as they state, a full fidelity export variant supplied to Warsaw Pact country is the version making its way to DCS. So this particular variant of the MiG-29 will be air-to-air capable, as we probably likely already expected, to include a variety of radar and infrared guided missiles, as well as a limited visual ground attack capability with 50 to 500 kilogram bombs, cluster bombs, and unguided rockets. Other features I found noteworthy in the weekly newsletter included a helmet mounted sight designations targeting system. We got some great new screenshots of the MiG-29. It looks like it's coming along nicely. And then Eagle Dynamics clarified what we can expect in the early access version of the release, and then at the final release. So some of the notes that stood out to me on the early access side of the house was Nineline confirmed that the flight model will use the same flight model that we already have for the Flaming Cliffs 3 version of the aircraft. He stated that was one of the more accurate ones they have. So it looks like that since we already have that in the game itself, the aircraft's a little bit ahead in terms of where most aircraft would be in development standpoint. We'll also get some navigation systems, including air data computers and navigational equipment in the early access version. We'll also have defensive equipment to include the flare dispenser system, and then the fire control radar with authentic modes for aerial targets, and then an optical electronic targeting navigation system. They call it the OETNS with modes for air and ground targets. So it looks like it'll be fairly capable in when it's released into early access. The only two notable points they had for the full final release of the aircraft would be that when the final release comes around, it will have a more advanced IFF system. So at the launch, it will include a basic IFF system, similar to, I imagine, what we have with other in-game aircraft already. And then when the final release rolls around, we'll have that more advanced system. No idea yet what that will necessarily entail. So it'll be interesting to see what comes along with that. And they also said the other item at final release will be the addition of a ground control interceptor, GCI command system. So that certainly caught my eye, as when it comes around for this aircraft, that makes sense from a Red 4 perspective. But will that have other applications for other aircraft in the game as well? Something that remains to be seen, but definitely a cool tidbit there. All right, so that wraps things up for the MiG-29. Shifting over to the Afghanistan development update and still sticking with DCS, they had additional details about the Afghanistan map as well. So again, another item that we knew was coming to the game for DCS based on the earlier video from back in January. But this update was particularly interesting as it detailed how they're going to divide up the development of the map. So they said work's coming along quite nicely. For those who may not already know, this version of the Afghanistan map is going to be focused on a 21st century timeline. So think the U.S. coalition involvement in Afghanistan from about 2001 to 2021 timeframe. So this is not set in the Soviet Afghanistan timeframe of earlier in the 20th century. This is a more modern map. So we'll be thinking of air bases such as Bagram, Kandahar, and the like. So the interesting development update, though, was which version of the map we're going to receive first. So the early access version that we'll first get our hands on will be focused entirely on the western half of Afghanistan. So they included a nice screenshot of what that map boundary will look like in the in-game. With a little in-game snapshot here. So Kandahar in this version represents the very eastern edge of that map, and we won't be seeing anything to the eastern half of the country until development continues. So no timeline on when we'll actually be expecting to see that. So this was a source of some consternation, it appears like, from many in the community. I guess I don't know enough about the country of Afghanistan itself to really have a full-fledged interest on that. I would say from what I could see of initial snapshots, it looks like the early access version we're going to be receiving will have a fair amount of diversity in terms of landscapes. So we'll get some of that rugged mountain range yet. We'll also get some of the deserts and some fertile river valleys and basins. You know, without knowing the full timeline with what we're looking like here, it's hard to know how long we'll actually be waiting to see that eastern half. That said, the screenshots they've shown us look really, really good. I'm probably going to pick this map up as I do most of the maps in the game. But, you know, I don't know. I don't have strong opinions. For me, generally speaking, it's another desert map, so I'm not really excited about that. Same thing with the Iraq map that was announced earlier in the year as well. You know, I think I've mentioned on the show multiple times, the map I'm most excited for is the Kola Peninsula being developed by the Orbix crew. So that said, it's always exciting to see a new map added for the game. If you're interested in the Afghanistan map, I encourage you to go check out the DCS newsletter, which I have linked in the show notes. You can see more detail for yourself about what you can expect in the early access version. They did say, please stay tuned for the pre-order coming soon. So it sounds like this early access version of the map could be further along in development than I anticipated. And maybe we'll be seeing it in closer to the first half of the year rather than later in the second half. So keep your eyes out. All right, shifting things over away from DCS and over to Nuclear Option, a title we've talked about on the show many times before. Nuclear Option received update 0.27 this week, and it packed a big punch over on Steam. The developer notes over there highlight a lot of nice quality of life updates coming to the game, including some new gameplay additions. First and foremost was the new aircraft released this week. As I mentioned in the flyby, the EW-25 Medusa. The electronic warfare aircraft was released this week. And, you know, that's really interesting just from a unique niche that I don't think we see a lot in the military flight simulation community. Electronic warfare aircraft, owing to their complexity, tend not to be modeled in games like DCS, whereas a nuclear option that's taking more of a sim-light approach has a lot of freedom to experiment with features. So kudos to them for doing so with the addition of this aircraft. If you're interested in the aircraft, I included a nice video from the developer, B-25 Mitch, on his YouTube page, which is Shock Front Studios, released a great little video detailing what the aircraft's like and giving a nice intro to all its features and capabilities. So check that out. Some other fun additions coming to Nuclear Option this week were, one, track IR support. Shout out from the rooftops. That was the thing I wanted most for this game, so it's very nice to see it. So thank you very much, B-25 Mitch. That's a great addition. Some other fun additions include some new bombs, an anti-radiation missile to go along with the EW-25, and new single-player and multiplayer missions. And then finally, on that front, Steam Workshop support for skins and missions. I know I've seen a lot of people talk about how they're really interested in the game, but they'd like to see more to do in the game. Well, I think Steam Workshop support could go a long way to helping people find other quality missions to fly with their friends. So go ahead and check that out. Again, you can find Nuclear Option on Steam. It's a sim-lite title. You can get your hands on it for around $20. It's a lot of fun. Get in, take off, have a good time. Perfect for short 20 to 30 minute types of scenarios. So, all right, let's shift away from the modern side of the house and go back in time to IL-2 Great Battles. And if you remember listening to last week, we talked about a podcast that developers did over there that was in their native language of Russian. So we had pieced together a little bit about what they talked about with the help of some people from the IL-2 forums. Well, the developer blog number 359 is here to help you even more than I could last week. They put together a very detailed summary of that 2+ hour long recording that took place over a week ago. The IL-2 community team did a great job providing a really in-depth summary of the conversation with wonderful links to each topic that may interest you. I didn't really come across anything new that I don't think we had talked about in detail on the show already last week. That said, I do encourage you to go over to the website, il2sturmovik.com/news. You can see the developer diary there and read about each piece of news in detail. It's a really long update, and it's got everything covered. So if you're interested in the series or interested in learning more about the history of the series as well, that was one thing I probably didn't give enough credence to last week that they did talk about, is the legacy and how they've continued to develop the series over time, some lessons learned, and what they want to carry those lessons forward to in their next title. That was kind of interesting, and you might enjoy that as well. So a good update to a story we covered last week, and thanks to the community team over there for making that transition for us and updating us with the translations. So that covers things for the developer news standpoint. Let's shift things over to the hardware news.
Flight controls. Flight controls.
If you can move it, toggle it, push it, or rotate it, hardware news is what we're going to talk about. And kicking things off this week, we got Winwing coming at us with the Airbus 320 flight control unit coming soon, coming into pre-orders starting on Wednesday, March 27th. And I can already hear you. Why are we talking about this on a military flight simulation podcast? Well, A, anytime we get new hardware of any kind in the flight simulation community, I enjoy talking about it because there's just always applications, or I should say non-intended applications, for any really hardware button box type of setup you can get your hands on out there. And this is actually a pretty cool one. So, you know, while it's designed for the civilian air community, I thought some of you might enjoy seeing what capabilities this has. And more importantly, I just think it shows Winwing stretching their footprint, if you will, and being a little creative. They've already shown an Airbus stick before, so this is, I guess, consistent with some things that they've done, but it does show their willingness to expand to other markets. So potentially this will help them see the value in extending to other markets, such as a TDAC for the Apache. Hint, hint, Winwing. But no, seriously, it's always just good to see new hardware in the community, developers taking a chance on some new markets. So kudos to the Winwing for doing that. If you're interested in this piece of gear, they do have early bird pricing. I did not catch how long that pricing will last, so I would anticipate if you want to take advantage of that pricing, you'd better act quick and put your pre-order in within a day or two of the orders going live. Again, that's on Wednesday, March 27th, starting at 10 a.m. UTC time. What else? Oh, on the U.S. site, the pre-order pricing starts at $105 U.S. That is 96 euros. For reference, that it's a discount of, if I can do math on the fly, let's call it, it looks like about a 20% discount, because the normal price U.S. would be about 136, whereas the normal EU price would be 125 euros. So a little bit of a discount if you want to jump in and get your hands on it early. Otherwise, feel free, as always, to wait for reviews. I'll try to bring us some here once they start to go live in the weeks ahead. So that's the Winwing Airbus 320 Flight Control Unit. All right, shifting things over not to a little bit more unfortunate piece of news that I came across right before we started recording, which was Verpal taking some legal action against FC Technologies, which is formerly Flycon Tech, a new hardware manufacturer we had featured on the show. Very interesting timing. You know, I started to see a lot of FC Technologies reviews for their newest joystick and gimbal pop up. They'd been sending them to many of the content creators in the flight simulation community. So you'd seen a lot of hardware news and videos popping up on YouTube. But then I was directed to this via a content creator over on the Verpal forums. Cypher, a Verpal representative over there, posted the following earlier today. He stated, "Hello, Verpals. Today, we're unfortunately addressing a more serious situation that has recently come to light. Some of you may have noted the emergence of another team who have released controllers which share many design intricacies with our own products. Firstly, in response to some speculation, we'd like to clarify that we have no connection with the team in question, nor is this team composed of previous Verpal staff." I'll just make a minor editor note here to say that was a rumor in the community. I'd seen many people on Hoggett and on the HOTAS Discord discuss that it was potentially some former team members of Verpals that had founded FC Technologies. Verpals coming out here and saying that is not the case. Getting back to the official quote, they say, quote, "Our legal partners have reviewed all elements of this situation closely, and it has been determined that through the protections granted by both EU and Lithuanian laws, they are illegally reproducing and promoting protected Verpal designs, trademarks, and intellectual property. A case has been raised against the perpetrators, and we will use the full weight of the law as required to protect Verpal, our staff, and our community," end quote. So what's that mean for the community? Well, as of the time of recording, the official Flycon Tech website, flycontech.com, was not working, and their Twitter account, at Flycon Tech, had been suspended for, quote, "violating platform rules." So definitely does not bode well for them at the present time. I guess this is when I would say a PSA, you know, if you happen to be someone who's purchased this product from the company or anything from the company, now might be a good time to consider what your options are. You know, if you're in the refund window, if you can even get a hold of the company to seek a refund, that might be an option. Perhaps you're willing to hold onto the hardware. Just keep in mind that the prospects for long-term support don't look really good at this time. You know, by all means, I totally think Verpal's in their right to protect their IP. And that any hardware manufacturer or developer, be it a software developer, is well within the right to do so. It's just an unfortunate situation. I love to see new hardware manufacturers pushing the boundaries of what we have and bringing new, fresh ideas to the community. So it's really sad to see that appears to be how they got their start in the community. I mean, we'll keep our eyes apprised of the situation, and I'll bring up any news I come across in the days and weeks ahead. But just thought that was an interesting one to bring to your attention, as we had covered them on the show before. So again, just unfortunate. So, sad way to wrap up hardware news, unfortunately, but as I mentioned, I'll bring you any new updates I have in the weeks to come. So, let's pick things back up on the brighter front and transition to the portion of the show where we highlight the work of people just like you, the community.
Really not tracking what they're doing exactly.
So, community news is where we cover the latest goings-on of the community, from campaigns and mods to servers, software, and everything in between. And kicking things off this week, we got the fine group at the Flight Sim Association announcing their exhibitor list for Flight Sim Expo 2024. You know, we've covered the Flight Sim Expo on several episodes, but just to remind you, if you don't already aware, the Flight Sim Expo will be in Las Vegas from June 21st to June 23rd at the Rio Las Vegas. And this is a great opportunity to get hands-on with a wide variety of flight sim hardware, in addition to meeting developers, learning more about what's being developed in this hobby of ours. And it's a unique opportunity to meet other members of the community. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I don't generally meet people in my day-to-day who really enjoy this hobby of ours. So what a great time to get together with like-minded people. It's my goal to attend one year and possibly even do a live podcast recap of each day's sessions. Unfortunately, it doesn't line up with me schedule-wise for me to attend in person this year, but I do tentatively plan to do daily recordings of each session to recap what the goings are on from a military flight sim side of the house. So, and on that note, I'd love to see the scope of the show to expand to include more of the military flight simulation community. And this year's exhibitors are a pretty good start, which we'll touch on in just a second. But during the live stream, when Flight Sim Association announced their exhibitors, they did mention they have reached out to Eagle Dynamics to get them to attend. They're not currently committed to attending, but they did have a call to action. If you're interested in seeing Eagle Dynamics attend this year's community, I highly encourage you to reach out to them, contact some of the major community members such as Nine Line or Big Nui on the Eagle Dynamics forums, on their Discord, on the Hoggett subreddit. Let them know you'd like to see a bigger presence of the military flight sim scene. You know, they're one of the leading members. Having them acknowledge the Flight Sim Association, send some members to attend, I think would go a long way to really shining light on this aspect of the hobby, this aspect of the, I should say, of the flight sim hobby, which I really don't think gets enough attention. So just want to put that out there. Let them know you'd like to see them attend. That said, to the main portion of the news, which is who is attending from the military flight sim scene. Well, first up, on the software development standpoint, Orbix will be attending. So Orbix are the developers of the upcoming COLA map for DCS. I'd imagine they're probably going to have more of a presence from the civilian flight sim scene, as they do a lot of work with Microsoft Flight Sim side of the house. But you never know. They might actually be featuring some stuff from DCS, maybe showing off the COLA map in action. Otherwise, if you do stop by, give them a shout out. Thank them for the development efforts with DCS. Also on the software development side of the house, we have Combat Pilot. So again, Combat Pilot is an upcoming World War II Pacific Theater title that's in development. They had previously announced that they do plan to be at the Flight Sim Association, so this is confirmation of that. And their previous announcement had indicated they do tend to have a workable, flyable build of the title there in Vegas. So that would be great for those of you who are attending, get some hands-on time, hopefully, with the game. That said, on the hardware development side, we have a significant number of vendors who will be attending who have military flight simulation hardware. The list includes Winwing, SimFab, Verpal, Thrustmaster, Toby of the Toby Eye Tracker, DOF Reality, which is a maker of motion simulation platforms, and then finally Max Flight Stick, the developer of an Apache Cyclic and Collective. I just want to give a special shout out to VKB, who are not on this list. VKB, if you're listening, we would love to see you in attendance as well. So hopefully for those of you who are going, you'll be able to spend time with each one of these developers and get hands-on time with all of the gear they make. So if you're interested in learning more about North America's community-driven flight simulation convention, you can find more at flightsimexpo.com. You can also find their YouTube page where they go through this developer or exhibitor list, youtube.com/flightsimexpo. And then finally, on a related community note, I did want to give a shout out to DDrake1984, who is the moderator of the HOTAS Discord and the HOTAS subreddit. He confirmed that he will be in attendance thanks to a sponsorship from Winwing. He plans to go and document as much of the event as possible and share pictures of his experiences on the Discord, on the subreddit, and on his blog, which you can find at techtronics.wordpress.com. And that is spelled T3CHtronics.wordpress.com. And I've got a link to the HOTAS Discord and the HOTAS subreddit in the show notes. You can find it out there. Drake, I hope you have a great flight over from Australia and that you enjoy the show. Okay, shifting things over on the community side of the house, I want to give a shout out to Shamrock from Stormwords.blog this week, who reviewed the DCS SA340 Gazelle this week. So Shamrock's been spending a lot of time on his blog documenting his trials and tribulations of getting back into the SA340 Gazelle. which has been an aircraft that's experienced a bit of a resurrection over the last 12 months. Polychops put a ton of effort into kind of revitalizing that aircraft, and it appears it's paid dividends. So if you haven't kept up with the development of this helicopter, or if you're interested in just learning more, give Shamrock's great review a read over there and find out if he thinks it's worth your time and money. So he's got some great screenshots of his action, details what he thinks about the aircraft. Shamrock, thank you for reviewing the aircraft, and I hope everyone enjoys giving it a read over at his blog. Again, that's stormbirds.blog with the exact link on the show notes. All right, sticking with the DCS side of the house, I want to give a server shout out to the Wolfpack US-02 Warbird server, which received an update this week. So the Wolfpack is an easygoing DCS community who operate a few persistent servers in game. You can just find them by doing a multiplayer search. Just search for Wolfpack US. That's Wolf, three words, Wolfpack US. They have a variety of maps and time periods that they fly on. Some are helicopter focused, some are modern jet focused. Well, this week we're giving a shout out to their World War II or Warbirds focused server. And you can also find a link to their Discord in the show notes as well. So it's not a huge update, but it does sound like an interesting one. So they run a PvP PvE dynamic base capture server for World War II over there. And the developer for the server, Groovy Jerry, stated that they've added convoys to the game to be hunted down and destroyed. So each side will have two convoys to hunt down and destroy. The convoys are going to run between the different towns and areas on the map. And there's a menu option now where you can call in recon planes that will help you find these convoys. So every 5 to 6 minutes, the recon will take about 5 to 6 minutes to get over the target. They'll deploy some smoke markers. And then after additional 5 to 6 minutes, their recon plane will be ready to deploy again. So you'll get notifications when you call the recon plane in. You get a notification that the recon plane's dropped the smoke, and you'll get a notification when the recon plane's back on station. So kind of a nice, fun 10 to 12 minute little rotational aspect with the convoys running. Just provides you a nice little unique gameplay benefit in game. And I just thought it was fun to shout out a server doing some great things for the World War II community in DCS. Also want to give a shout out to Groovy Jerry, who's got a great video that walks you through what is the Wolfpack Warbird server, and gives you a little quick tutorial on how to fly it. So you can find him at Old Groovy Jerry Gaming 3167 on YouTube with the link on the show notes. So thanks a lot, Groovy Jerry and the Wolfpack community. All right, let's shift things over to the user content of the week now. Sometimes it's a mission, sometimes it's a tutorial, and sometimes it's just an interesting topic of conversation here in the content of the week. And if you listened to the show before, you know I'm a sucker for missions that allow you to get all your training done in one-stop shop. And specifically for DCS this week, I want to give a shout-out to Sedlo. That's right, Sedlo's back again. He's a content machine. And this week, he's coming to us with a BFM and Weapon Trainer version 3.0 releasing. So Sedlo's had this mission around for a while on the DCS user file page, but he released a great video on his YouTube page this week that walks us through what version 3.0 of the BFM and Weapons Trainer mission brings to the plate, and it's a lot. So quick recap, the BFM mission Weapons Trainer, as the name implies, it allows you to practice employing all manner of air-to-air and air-to-ground ordnance against a variety of targets using any aircraft in the game, all in one mission. So what does that mean? You can spawn air-to-air adversaries in different situations. So you can be head-to-head, you can have them on your six, you can be on their six and practice holding there or getting out of that situation. You can spawn air-to-ground targets, either moving or stationary, including targets being lased by an overhead UAV. You can also spawn surface-to-air threats to practice seed, deed, or even just self-defense. You can practice in-air refueling with probe or drogue methods. You can even practice carrier operations. That's right, he's got a carrier in there. And of note, super carrier module is not required. And he's even got a ship for you F-18 bubbas who want to practice some anti-ship warfare. I suppose that works for the Vigan or other aircraft too, but I'm just thinking off the top of my head, F-18 with harpoons. He makes special note to watch though, that ship does shoot back. Other fun things, you can change the weather conditions from day to night to VMC to IMC. And the best part, all of this is done via the F-10 menu, which is really incredible. Sedlo never fails to leverage all the power and capabilities of the DCS mission editor. So that's what the mission is. What are the new features we get with version 3? Well, first off, it adds A4E mod support. So that's a big one for a lot of us who like to fly the A4. It adds immortality for players like me who turn on surface to air threats and then forget and just fly right into the range of them. So this is helpful if you're like me and don't want to always reset the mission. You can just turn on or off invincibility and really just practice all the procedures without having to worry about getting shot down, but that's up to you. And then finally, a really cool feature this week is, or I should say with this version, is the visual aids. He has the ability to illuminate a target via flares or IR beam at night. So if you're flying a night mission, can't see the target, boom, go to your F10 menu, call in a flare on the target. Now you can know where to look. He also added a really interesting feature, which sets smoke markers surrounding the target at 3, 4.5, and 6 miles to help with gauging distances to from the target. And then the final update was he added JDAM and JSAOs for aircraft capable of flying them and NVG support. So if your aircraft supports NVGs, you can now rock them in this mission. So again, that's the BFM and Weapon Trainer by Sudolo version 3. I've got the link in the show note, and you can find that also by searching on the DCS user files for Sudolo, BFM Weapon Trainer. Either way, you'll get there. And enjoy a really, really cool mission that will help you get up to speed with DCS and any aircraft you want to get a rolling with. So thank you, Sedlo. Okay, let's shift things over to this Sim Pit Spotlight.
You don't see any big stream of flames or smoke coming out, do you?
So the Sim Pit Spotlight is my favorite segment of the show where we highlight a community member's personal Sim Pit setup, no matter how simple or complex, to celebrate the joy of flying from home. And this week, I want to give a shout out to Herky1985 on the HOTAS subreddit for being this week's Sim Pit Spotlight. So Herky's got a great little setup here, rocking a combination, it looks like, of Winwing and VKB here gear. So he's got the Winwing MFDs with the screens behind him, which is definitely a popular addition to many air Sim Pits these days. He's got the F-18 upfront controller. He's got the Winwing control panels over on the side there for all his button box needs. But he's also rocking the new VKB Stex throttle. And it looks like the VKB MCG Pro stick. But most importantly, the best part of this whole setup that I got, I found here, was he's got on his second monitor, he's resting it on the fanciest monitor stand of all, which appears to be a 2005 deployment cruise book from the Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, talk about immersion, man. It doesn't get more immersive than that. You got a cruise book as a monitor stand. Shout out to you, Herky. I never thought to do that with one of mine, but maybe I'll make that addition myself. So seriously, though, thank you, Herky, for sharing your wonderful setup. Looks like you got a great place to fly the virtual skies each and every week, and I hope you enjoy it, sir. So let's shift things over now to the listener feedback portion of the show.
612, departure radio check.
Just want to thank everyone. I've actually started to have more and more listener feedback trickle in each and every week. It means so much to know that everyone's enjoying the show. Let me know what you guys want to talk about is also great as well. I could still use those content suggestions each and every week. If you want to hit me up on Instagram or Twitter, you can always hit to find the show on at the Hangar Bay Pod. That's again on Instagram or Twitter. You can also find the show on YouTube. Leave me a comment there. It's youtube.com/@StuMonji/podcasts. You can also find the show on Facebook on Hangar Bay Pod. Or you can email the show. You can always reach me, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or leave a voice message on Spotify. Always love hearing what you think of the show and what you'd like to talk about in terms of news or content in a future episode. That said, this concludes another episode of The Hangar Bay. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. As I mentioned, we'll be back next Saturday, as we always do around here, to get you squared away with the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. But until then, think about what you put out into the community and make it a better place. Fly safe, everyone.
Red hat, let's go down low out of deck. Unload 500 knots. Let's get out of here.
The missile knows where it is at all times. Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that you can find the video show on YouTube or on Spotify at the Hangar Bay Pod. The audio show is available on all major podcast providers. You can contact the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or on Instagram and Twitter at @thehangarbaypod. Show notes and links to everything discussed on this week's show are available at thehangarbaypod.com.